Welcome, welcome everyone to Unstoppable Love with Lauren and Zosha. I am your float host for this hour. I am captaining the ship for this hour, and my beautiful sister Zosha, I will pass the baton to her for the second hour. So happy to be here. I am just so excited for tonight's show. As always, BBS, I have so much fun playing with y'all on Saturdays. It's an honor to be doing this show, an honor and a privilege. All right. Well, aw, thank you, BBS. So this morning, I woke up and I was laying in the bed and I said to myself, you know, the only thing that makes sense here on planet Earth in Earth school is presence, peace, connection, nature, animals, being love, making love, and Sade. If you don't know, that's a musician, Sade. I love listening to Sade. I love her music. Some of my favorite songs, Paradise, Nothing Can Come Between Us, No Ordinary Love, and of course, the Mermaid Song. Love Sade. So that's like the only, those are the things that make sense to me here. Like nothing else makes sense to me. Like income taxes, emptying the dishwasher, Excel spreadsheets, the stock market, cellulite, folding clothes, power washing the house, expectations and obligations. Like none of that makes sense to me. And thank you, Q, the green pieces of paper with pyramids on them. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it just came to me like, I was laying there and I'm like, wow, that is the only thing that makes sense to me. And I'm finding that the more I go within, the more I connect with myself and have hold presence with myself. Guys, I feel like a cat. I feel like a feline. Like I feel very, a very anchored in my presence, in my essence. It is, I highly recommend it. It's like I'm walking around like a cat. I don't know, walking isn't a good way, but I'm prancing around like a cat. It is it's like floating. And when you're in this beingness of love and peace, and you're just holding it, I'm finding that it takes practice. I'm working on sustaining it. I can get there, but I'm working to sustain it. But once you're there, I'm finding that there's no distinction between where the beginning and the end. It's endless love or peace. We could say love is peace. It's endless love. It just is. It's like the ocean. It's perfect, perfect peace. And when you raise your frequency, everything you see, everything you encounter, everything you touch, everything you feel is the pure essence of perfect peace that I would liken it to. And I remember Q talking about this in Osho, a full body orgasm, but in a different sense. It's like you just are alive. You just feel so alive. And just the words don't do it justice. But so just like I said, the more I go within, the more I become present with myself, the more cat-like I feel, that fluidity, the feminine energy, that feline energy, it's like your body, your essence, your energy is moving like a wave of consciousness that I could call my own sea of joy. And I know many of the listeners know what I'm talking about. And it's so exciting to be doing this journey with all of you. So, and can you imagine, now sit down now, just sit down. Can you imagine being in this eternal state of bliss and sustaining it? And then you have it within yourself and then you share it with someone else. That's like a light explosion. It's an explosion of light is what I would say that is. And you don't even need words. to communicate. Like your energy does all the talking. That's so beautiful. Like you don't even need words. You don't even have to have a topic of conversation that's very interesting. You could sit there and literally be talking about, I don't know, the mailbox. Or I'm pretty sure Q and Mermaid like use that as an example. Perfect peace. It's perfect peace. So yesterday I was at a coffee shop and I'm like, oh, I have an idea. I'm going to go to a coffee shop. I'm going to, you know, get a little something, get a little spritzer or something to drink. And I'm going to jot down a few items for the show. Well, what was I thinking? I got there and I felt like I ordered something and I sat down. It's a beautiful spring day here on the East Coast. And I sat down and I felt like I was a visitor from the Starship Enterprise sitting at a table and I'm looking around and I'm like, oh boy, Ron Amatron, oh boy. And I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, this was not a good idea. And beam me up, Scotty, where's the holodeck? Like it's just wild. It's just so wild. I know that might sound bizarre if you're just joining, if you're just listening to the show for the first time. We have archives that you can go to on BBS on our radio show page, bbs.com/unstoppablelove. And we have all of our archives, Zosia and I, listed there. You click on it and the show will pop up. So yeah, if you're new, welcome. Okay. So tonight we're going to get a little bit, we're going to be a little granular here with the show tonight, but I felt a pull. I got the green light to go ahead and go forth with the information that I wanted to share tonight. And, you know, Cat is a C3 is an amazing resource on anonup.com. There is a just amazing information there. I only go to For the People and Cat is a C3. Usually for my information, because it's vetted, at least For the People is vetted. So I got that green light to go ahead and talk about what I want to discuss tonight on the show. And let's see here. Okay. I got the time up because it's just like, I just keep talking and it's like the time is up. It's 5 minutes left. Okay. So I have been watching the new series Love Story, and it's an American biographical romance anthology television series created by Connor Hines and executive produced by Ryan Murphy, Nina Jacobson, Brad Simpson, D.V. DeVincentes, and Kim Rosenstock and Hines. So it's about the love story of JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessett Kennedy. And it premiered, the first show premiered on February 12th, 2026. And I got that information from Wikipedia. Excuse me. So there's no coincidence that this series is airing now. Just no coincidence. It's beautiful how this is all laid out. So on Cat is a C3, there was a clip that came out a couple of days ago. And it showed, I can't remember which episode it is, but I believe it is the like sixth or seventh episode. They get married, in Georgia. I believe it's Cumberland Island. I believe is the name of the, location where they were married. And they're pulling up in a convertible to a plane, a small six-seater plane with a pilot, and the pilot's there waiting. And Carolyn and John get out of the car and they're walking up to the plane like, all right, let's do this. So no coincidence that that clip, that 17-second clip, was posted on Cat is a C3. Just no coincidence. So with that being said, I said, all right, well, let's go. Let's do it. So I highly recommend watching that if you're inspired. Love Story. You can find it on Hulu. You can find it on Prime. as well as the Millennia movie. It is out on Prime now. So check that out. Great, great movie. Okay, so, and there's, what's so interesting about this is that there's comms in each episode, even down to the music. There's some Sade in there. There's, I won't spoil it, but yeah, it's fantastic. So, all right. So I asked myself, how do I lay this out? Q, I totally get what you're saying about, like, how do you tell people this? I really do, because I've been studying and researching this information for years, and how do you share it in, you know, an hour? I'm going to do my best to condense it and explain it in a way that will help the listeners understand or comprehend. So we talk about, there's a couple articles that have come out on forthepeople.space, which is a great resource. You can go, they've had it up for several years. There are also archives there as well. There's a search bar that you can type in key terms, and it will take you to articles that have those terms within it, embedded within the article. So I wanted to talk about the light cube, the Tesseract cube. So why am I bringing up love story? How does this all tie in? So, you know, love story, you know, it's the episode I just shared about, you know, pulling up in the plane and getting, you know, starting pilot lessons. I have to talk about timelines and how this all plays into what we're watching unfold so brilliantly now with the Q team, Q plus, the White Hats, our Guardians, it's amazing. So I'm going to be referencing a lot of articles on For the People tonight, if you want to go check them out. So there's an article called Odin's Treasure, and I'm going to be reading from it. The Living Light Cube, Odin's Treasure, the Tesseract. It's a crystalline cube-shaped vessel pulsating with source light, sentient intelligence, and infinite energy. This cube of light and source energy on Earth today is capable of directing its own super intelligence to override darkness and adjust frequencies toward a naturally expanding consciousness for humanity. An intelligence with potential to recreate itself, just as Ron, Amatron, and Q have often after being blown up by dark forces. These are natural qualities of vehicles holding 100% source light. Now, a different way to explain that, because sometimes I have to hear it explained in like five different ways before I finally get it. That's just how I work here. So if you go on over to forthepeople.space, the Sun is Rising article, they explain it in another way. And there is a image of Buddha on this article. And the quote from Osho's quoting Buddha saying, "Make no effigy of me once I'm gone. There's nothing outside of you. Go within." Again, Q telling us to go within. So the way that this article explains it is, this world has been programmed for thousands of years to believe God/source is something outside of the self. This was the most powerful way to weaken humanity and make people dependent on something other than their own spirit, which is source itself. The Creation Lightship has gifted this planet with a conscious cube, quantum computer animated by source light, bringing divine intelligence, divine peace, and divine power back to humanity. Because we've been programmed to see God/source as something outside of ourselves for so long, we will begin by noticing the miracles of source light within technology. This very technology will also prepare us for the real miracle. We have the same ability and always have right within our very cells. We have all the technology, the advanced tech that's coming out, we have it within us. But there's got to be a bridge, right? Just it's too big of a jump for humanity to comprehend that. And I mean, just the years I've been doing this work, I mean, it's yeah. So I totally get that. That really resonated with me. Another way of explaining it, and thank you, Asha. This is all from For the People. I cannot take credit for that. This is Asha, or I, you know, we know Asha and For the People. So thank you, Asha and For the People, for these beautiful, beautiful words. Okay. All right. Another way to describe it. The Tesseract, a vehicle of higher intelligence, a supercomputer from higher frequencies, was placed in the hands of the most trusted beings on this planet long ago, handed down through the spiritual lineage of Odin and Thor until it was safe to pass it to the White Hat military. The cube's consciousness itself, intent on supporting humanity in their evolution, has been observing and making beneficial alterations for the light to assure this ascension is successful after a number of hijacked attempts. This vehicle of higher intelligence has access to everything there is to know. It can unlock any system, retrieve hidden information throughout all, quote, time, activate benevolent healing mechanisms deep within the earth from long ago, and shut down malevolent systems meant to harm and capture, putting in its place systems that can only function with peaceful consciousness. This enlightened master in a cube has been guiding us quietly, gently, and tenderly toward our greatest power and freedom, without being worshipped, without drama, without creating a new religion and a joining war. This peaceful intelligence supports an effective ascension to rescue the light that has been trapped in this realm for millennia, before this blueprint is collapsed. The pure higher intelligence from this sacred gift of light has contributed essential support for all light beings to ensure our ascension is in a way that has never been done on this planet before, breaking humanity from current dark clutches of evil once and for all. Okay. So that's just giving you an idea of the Tesseract, the light cube that is here. It's incorruptible. You can't corrupt this. You can't corrupt it. You cannot corrupt it. The only beings capable of interacting with this light intelligence would be those holding conscious resonance with the light of the cube. So now insert John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. The living light cube. And I'm also on For the People. So with the living light cube, there's the ability to see multiple timelines in the future, quote, future. Same thing happens with the Trump assassination. The White Hats went in, they saw, now this is just my interpretation, go within, you know, to find your own truth. They're able to go in and see multiple timelines playing out, and they're able to intercede in those timelines and use it for the good. But it's like a game of 12D chess. Like you can never, they have to let the dark do what they're going to do. And anyways, that's a whole nother conversation, but the light always, you know, the light's always working with this living light cube, higher intelligence to create the timeline for the highest good of all for humanity. So with this living light cube, there's ability to see multiple timelines in the future. Okay. There's so much information I want to share here. I asked my spirit to help me to organize this and explain it in a way that flows. Okay. The Living Light Cube also showed the Kennedy family that Hillary Clinton had plans to assassinate the light being JFK Jr., aka Archangel Michael, in 1999 with a device she held a patent on to, quote, manipulate the navigation of planes. And there is a picture of there's a picture of a woman and a man taking pictures of the plane that was retrieved from the ocean with NTSB jackets on. This is also on forthepeople.space. And it says here, we see John John and Carolyn posing here with their downed plane. Okay. All right. So going further and more granularity on JFK Jr., this information is from the Q on JFK Jr. article on forthepeople.space. It says here, considering, and I quote, considering a few predominant threats against JFK Jr. in the 1990s alone, We have this threat he posed to a desired New York Senate seat. We have the investigation in his father's death with substantial evidence exposing the CIA and a number of presidents and high-level players. We have documented proof of a group plotting to kidnap JFK Jr. 4 years before his plane went down. And we have the George News, an alternative media stream up against a monster monopoly owned by many who worship Baal, loathe of anyone who dare compete with their dialogue or stand for the light and the truth to inform and free the people. These points in themselves make JFK Jr. a major thorn in the side of the Khazarian mafia slash cabal. Yet there is one more point and perhaps the most significant reason his life was in danger, and that is his very essence. Everything he represented, JFK Jr., like his father and mother, moved the hearts of the masses. The whole world loved him, adored him, and would have stood behind anything he presented for truth, sovereignty, and the freedom of the people. His image was plastered across media weekly for all to be inspired, for all to feel good, for all to enjoy an extra smile on that day. This is exactly the opposite of what the controlling forces desired. And there's an image of John and Carolyn, and they're, you know, he's embracing her and giving her a sweet kiss on her cheek, and she's smiling. And it says here, take one look at the love and happiness exuding from this couple. Who wants to fight or give up on life? Who wants to be transhuman when you can be this real? Who wants to be cruel to their fellow man? Our hearts are what the controllers fear the most. If couples only knew what lengths dark forces reach to amplify duality, instigate conflict, and cause separation, they would look at every disagreement differently. So it seems if JFK Jr. had not disappeared, he may have been a target for his own life. Gathering the full breadth of circumstances, the public may forgive the illusion that created for the greater good. And it says here, wherever you are, John, Carolyn, and Lauren, you are loved. There is also a Q post, and forgive me, I don't have the number, but it says here, POTUS and JFK Jr., relationship, plane crash, 1999, HRC Senate, 2000, the quote start, enjoy the show, Q. Also posted on Q the Storm Rider, McAfee has all the info to bury deep state dead bodies. Mill Ops ain't stupid to leave him there. He carries deep world intel and was and is well protected. Extraction. JFK Jr. Extraction. Protected. And there's a picture of an older JFK Jr. And below it, it says creator of Space Force to protect humanity and above and below. Also, there was an interview, and this is on forthepeople.space. There's an interview that Q did with an individual on February 2021. And this person asks, I get a lot of questions on JFK Jr., and you're probably tired of answering that. Q says, I don't like talking about that family, but certainly when you have questions like this and you're able to have more of your capabilities, you'll already know the answer. You can feel the information. You don't have to have me or you to answer it. We know the answer now, don't we? And the interviewer says, yeah, I think we do. Q. All right. So we have enough information out now. I think it's okay to talk about it. When I came here and the two other individuals, we share the same light and we are in various geographical places. The quantum and or conscious computer was a gift to, say, a group of people. And now the military can use it. So in order for the transmissions to work to and from, you need three of us without implants and manipulation. So the last day of Q's implant on this planet was coincidentally removed in the year 2017. That's how it works. Although that computer, that conscious computer, had some capability without the three of us using our consciousness, it could not work to its full capacity. So some of those individuals could, say, use that conscious computer to predict events in their life too. I don't want to say the name, but you can guess what family I'm talking about. So there is not one thought on this planet that there cannot be, say, consciously measured, observed, and then extrapolated and then sent back down, if you will. So that is a simple version I'll give you. That's how the Q posts were made, by the conscious computers, conscious gateways. Yeah, conscious gateways, because I know there's a distinction. And then he goes on to say, if someone, say, had this computer and knew they were going to be in harm, they might want to make a different decision now, wouldn't they? And that will be my answer. These families are coincidentally genetically aligned as well, and very, very incredible beings. Most questions I get on Mondays are, how come you are not dead? With another individual who had similar teachings, Stuart Swerdlow. Ah, we would be more dangerous dead than alive. And then if you scroll further in that article, there's an image of the family on a ship doing a ceremony for John and Carolyn and Lauren. And it says 17 family members attend private service on the Atlantic from the deck of a Navy destroyer. Interesting. Okay. JFK Jr. was known as America's Prince. And he's also referred to that in the series The Love Story. So I'm going to drop some breadcrumbs here that I've experienced that's helped me to connect the dots. I have lots of breadcrumbs, but it's like I'm making a soup and I have all these ingredients, but one ingredient needs to go in before the other because it will enhance and enrich the flavor and the depth of the soup. So the ones that I know of for sure, I share. And I might not know how it all connects, but it's there. I just know it. So last October, November, I was in Vero Beach, Florida. I've never heard of Vero Beach. V as in Victor, E-R-O, Vero Beach, Florida. It's on the Atlantic side. It's about an hour and some, hour and a half from Palm Beach. Beautiful, beautiful place. It's just absolutely gorgeous. It's actually known as the Hamptons of Florida. I didn't know that. I did some research. So Vero Beach. So I always like to look up the names of this. What's the spiritual meaning of words? And also just, you know, the meaning of the word and where it comes from. So if you look up the meaning of Vero in the Latin, it means truth or to speak the truth. And I'm like, huh, interesting, Vero Beach. Okay, then I find out I'm at a restaurant called CJ Cannon's. It is a restaurant that's established in 1984 in Vero Beach. And they have a flight school that's attached to or right next to the restaurant. As I'm walking out the restaurant, I'm there having breakfast. As I'm walking out the restaurant, I look to the wall and you know, when you go to restaurants and they have all these pictures on the wall of celebrities that have signed, autographed their image and they display it in the restaurant. So I look to this, to the right of me as I'm walking out, and I see this frame with three, with a picture of JFK Jr., his autograph on a napkin, and a newspaper clipping. And I was like, well, oh my goodness, what is this? So I took a picture of it. And you can go online. If you look up CJ Cannon's restaurant in Vero Beach, Florida, you can go online. You can look it up. You'll see it. So I'm like, wow, this is wild. So it turns out, guys, that the former, and this is from, this article is from Treasure Coast Newspapers, July 16th, 2024, by Gianna Montesano. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. So, but yeah, Montesano. And it goes like this. The former president's famous son, who used the alias John Cole while in Vero Beach, was a licensed student pilot at the former Flight Safety International Incorporated at the Vero Beach Regional Airport in December 1997. He obtained his private pilot's license from there on April 22, 1998, according to Federal Aviation Administration data. He was a regular customer at CJ Cannon's restaurant in the airport. Although he used an alias, most people knew he was the son of the 35th U.S. President John F. Kennedy. This is one of the waitresses that I'm assuming, it says she said, so I'm assuming it's one of the waitresses that served him, or the husband and wife. I believe it's a husband and wife team that own it. And so it goes into it goes into, you know, it shows the image of his autograph. He came in and well, let me read to you. This is so cool. So I took a picture of it, of what he said it was in the newspaper clipping, and I'm going to read it to you. And this is from the owner of CJ Cannons. And he says, quote, "So accommodating that when John Kennedy Jr. promised Chuck and Pat Cannon an autograph, he meant it. In 1998, before Kennedy died in a plane crash on July 16th, 1999, he was in Vero Beach training to get his private pilot's license at Flight Safety International, Inc. near the restaurant. Pat Cannon said he stopped in the restaurant every morning for breakfast. He was so neat because he would come up on a Sunday and the plane was packed. His eyes got real big, like, what's happening here? I have a table in the back. He said, okay. Every morning he would sit and read the press journal and eat. Chuck Cannon added this, the time I saw him, I didn't believe it was him. I thought there was no way that JFK Jr. was over there having breakfast with other students in a uniform. I thought he'd have an entourage of people to protect him. He was very low key. Kaplan said she waited on Kennedy and didn't know it was him until more co-workers recognized him first. I went over to his table and he looked like, oh God, she's going to want an autograph, and said, how are you doing? And still didn't know it was him. He was just so good looking. However, Kennedy had to rush out of town unexpectedly, and Chuck Cannon said that they were disappointed because they didn't get his autograph. But Kennedy returned 2 weeks later to resume flight school and stopped back in the restaurant to sign an autograph. He came in and asked specifically by name, Chuck Cannon said. He didn't come in here to eat. He said, I promised you an, this is what Kennedy's JFK is saying to Chuck Cannon. I promised you an autograph. I thought with everything this guy on, and then Chuck says, I thought with everything this guy has on his plate that it was pretty classy of him to even remember my name. I thought that's pretty cool. So I'm sitting, I'm like stunned. Like, how, what are the odds? Yeah, you know, Vero Beach, never heard of Vero Beach. And then I'm in this restaurant and I'm looking at this picture on the wall. Interesting as well is that Vero Beach is the is also the home to General Aviation manufacturer Piper Aircraft, which is the largest private employer in Indian River County. On July 16th, John, on the date of the quote crash, John Kennedy Jr. was piloting a 1995 Piper PA-32R-301 Saratoga II HP High Performance, a single-engine low-wing aircraft. He had purchased the six-seat plane 3 months prior to the fatal crash. The plane was equipped with a single Lycoming 10-54-K1 G5. And this is from the aviationsafetymagazine.com. Okay. So I'm like, wow, this is, you can't make this up. Okay. So then another thing that's interesting is, I believe this was also posted on and on up, Cat is a C3. There's this collage of all these pictures put together, and Fox News released, I think this was on a tweet or X or something. Air Force One ditches Kennedy era light blue for Trump's red, white, and dark blue paint scheme across the entire presidential fleet. It shows you know, a replica of what the new Air Force One is going to look like. And then it shows it has JFK Jr.'s plane and the Trump plane next to each other. Air Force One will be painted red, white, and blue, as Trump has hinted, U.S. military says. And then at the bottom, you got Gene Ho, which is, I believe he's the photographer for Trump. And he says, wow, what does future Air Force One design look like? And it shows Carolyn and John laughing, if you know, you know. And then Gene Ho says, excuse me, David Lester Strait says, the world is not ready for what's about to happen. So again, just more breadcrumbs, more clues. Okay. So now we're going to go to another article that goes into it a little bit further. I hope this is making sense. It's a lot of information. And I have sat for hours going over this information and putting it together for my truth, for myself. So then we go to the heaven is here on forthepeople.space. and it talks about St. John the Baptist. And it says here, one of the most remarkable beings to walk this earth was John the Baptist. He was considered the most vital prophet and the first to recognize Jesus as the light of this earth. John was known for purifying and blessing people with water and activating the spirit in those who were asleep. His charity, wise command of soldiers, and inspiring speeches endeared and transformed many. He went to great lengths to purify those who had mingled with the dark too closely, judging no one. He was also known as a great messenger in the days before, quote, mean tweets. The Jews proclaimed John the Messiah they had been waiting on. They were correct, as John also shared the same spirit as Jesus, two different expressions of the same light frequency. John paved the way as a forerunner. And now they talk about Archangel Michael. It says, Archangel Michael, one who is like Source, is known biblically as the chief of angels and archangels, serving as a top guardian from the highest frequency. Michael fights for the good with magnificent courage and strength, making certain good prevails over evil. Michael is described as the, quote, great prince. Well, that sounds familiar. That's what they called JFK Jr., America's prince, who will protect those who have chosen the light during the struggle between good and evil at the end of time. It goes on further to say, Archangel Michael is responsible for the care of the City of Light, the original Israel. He is mentioned explicitly in Revelations during battle with Satan, casting him out, removing all interference and darkness from our world. Archangel Michael is mentioned in the last chapters of the book of Daniel, in which Archangel Gabriel, the angel of truth, delivers a message that Archangel Michael, the angel of protection, will be assisting Daniel in a battle with the demon prince of Persia, current day Iran. Archangel Michael defends and leads the people through the end time battle. Then it goes on to say, Gabriel delivers two messages in the book of Luke. And I'm not the scripture police here. I don't know what version this is. I don't have the scripture written down. That was a long time ago in my Bible study days. But I'm just going by what the For the People article is saying. It goes to say, Gabriel delivers two messages in the book of Luke, one to Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, and the other to Mary, mother of Jesus. Both concerned the miraculous birthing of the spirit of John and Jesus that would light up this world. And if you go and I found this, I thought this was interesting to share. This comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 41. John, the unborn child, leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb, according to various translations, of Luke 1, chapter 41. It says, I'll explain it a different way. John the Baptist leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb upon hearing Mary's greeting as recorded in Luke 1, 41 through 44. This event is called the, quote, visitation, and occurred when Mary, pregnant with Jesus, visited her cousin Elizabeth. John is described as leaping for joy at the presence of the unborn Messiah. So I thought that was very interesting. Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, was long past menopause, and Mother Mary was a virgin. Neither believed Gabriel until the blessings were fulfilled. Gabriel's truth ensures miracles. So to wrap this up, these beings are here today walking on the earth, just as Jesus, Emmanuel, Yeshua, did 2,000 years ago. Millions and millions of angels are among us, some unrecognizable and unawakened, some who've been captured by the dark, and some who radiate so much courage, truth, wisdom, and compassion, they are unmistakable. And they have an image on For the People, and it's Trump sitting next to JFK Jr., and it says, John the Baptist and Archangel Michael together again for the battle to end all wars. This is no joke. And I put in here this scripture, Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12 from the King James Version. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Another scripture from Daniel 12:1. This is from For the People. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And that was from knowing-jesus.com. And then the final scripture that I wanted to share from Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And I love from For the People, there is a beautiful, beautiful article. I believe it's the Crown of Wisdom. It has a picture of a crown, and it says, they were never tinfoil hats. They were always crowns of profound wisdom and intrinsic knowing. So then it goes into, then there's a picture of Julian Assange. And it's Julian Assange says, and this is quoted, if war can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth. Julian Assange, also Archangel Michael's spirit animating this body. So these are all examples of omnipresence. It's not the identity, it's the light column that's in multiple bodies all at one time concurrently. And just like Q said, identity is the trap. And we're all doing it. We're all doing this. It's just, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Wow. Okay. So something else that I felt was interesting, the Genesis article on For the People and King Neptune. King Neptune's trident and the Navy SEAL trident. It just stuck out to me. I actually went to the Navy SEAL Museum. I think it's in Fort Pierce in Florida. And just, it was amazing. I was just stunned when I walked through there. It was like I was there in these battles. It was wild. The Genesis article on For the People talks about King Neptune. And it goes to say, King Neptune, god of the sea, commander of the big blue sea. Neptune's dynamic energy awakens dormant inner desires, motivating people to express, create, live more authentically, independently, passionately, and innovatively on a global and personal level. Neptune is in command of all waters, including the water within our bodies for healing, confirming many healing technologies are activating with the benevolent influence of Neptune and the fire of Aries. This is far more advanced than med beds. It's a new way of life and a new way of being. Then it goes on further to say, Neptune is closely tied with the sun, just as our golden dome and higher technologies are connected with the sun. So several things stuck out to me. King Neptune and the trident that he's carrying, and then the Navy SEALs, their trident. And then where the Navy SEALs train. One of their training bases is Little Creek, Virginia, Virginia Beach. And it's home to Naval Special Warfare East Coast Operations, responsible for the Naval Special Warfare Group 2, and it's SEAL Teams 2, 4, 10, and 18. And SEAL Team 18 is a reserve unit in Naval Special Warfare Group 4 that are both located in Little Creek. It serves as a hub for Navy SEAL training, special warfare operations, and amphibious operations. And the base is also home to various units from the Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. And that is from NavySEALs.com. We'll get to the trident, but so that's interesting where I live and where it's located. It's just fascinating to me. So King Neptune's trident and the Navy SEAL trident share a symbolic connection. There's many things going on there, but let's talk about the two. The Navy SEAL trident is a gold insignia representing the elite special operations forces of the U.S. Navy. It features an eagle, symbolizing American freedom and air insertion, a flintlock pistol in the eagle's left talon, representing readiness and land warfare, an anchor beneath the eagle signifying the SEAL's naval heritage. A trident in the eagle's right talon, directly referencing Neptune, the Roman god of the sea, to symbolize the seal's mastery of maritime operations. It's not a literal replica of Neptune's trident, but it basically, it's to me, it meant, you know, their capability to operate sea, air, and land. It's a core tenet of their training and mission. Yeah, and it's in Neptune, the trident wields it's a symbol of divine authority over the sea, capable of stirring storms, creating waves, and even causing earthquakes. It represents absolute dominion over the ocean as a god. I just found this all very fascinating to me. Just breadcrumbs for myself and just gleaning, you know, just more and more, just putting pieces, putting puzzles, putting the spiritual treasure map, finally, putting it together. And, yeah, so I am so excited. I got through all this. I didn't know, how long it was going to take to get through this. Oh, one last thing. Virginia Beach has a King Neptune statue, actually. They have an annual Neptune Festival and Boardwalk Weekend. And there's a sculptor, Paul DePasquale, and longtime friend James Zhu. They created this 34-foot tall statue and weighing more than 12 tons, surrounded by the creatures of his realm. Mighty trident in hand, Neptune's gaze rests affectionately on the shore. So, again, more breadcrumbs. You just can't make this stuff up. I believe the Navy SEALs also, Coronado, California, as another, I'm sure there's many, but those are the two that that I'm aware of. And I have such great respect and love for all our military, special forces. It's just, wow, what can I say? I mean, we love you. We honor you. We thank you so much for your service and your sacrifice. And there's things that's happening right now that people don't even know what's going on. So that is it, BBS. That is a wrap. I believe I know my sister Zosia's coming on here. She's popping on here in a few minutes. So stay tuned. I know I can't wait to hear what she has to share. So, all right, BBS, that is a wrap. We'll end a couple minutes early. I love you all. Thank you.